Anybody else want any closers? Apparently that's all. Val wants a closer. Watch your head, Mark. All right. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke, as we continue in our sermon series talking about the parables of Jesus, will be in Luke chapter 15. If you were here with us last week, we began walking through Luke chapter 15, dealing with the first eight verses we read at the beginning of our time together last week into verse 8, which is where we'll begin this morning. Now, as we talked about the parables of Jesus over the last few weeks and month at this point, one of the things we've learned about parables is that Jesus uses everyday circumstances, real scenarios, to illustrate a much deeper point. Now, these three set of parables are probably some of the most well-known parables in the Gospels. Luke, as he describes these three parables, the first of them, the parable of the lost sheep, which we talked about last week, and really, I think, culminates in verse 7. I'll read it to you. It says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance." That ultimately, in each of these three parables, it's not just a sense of lostness, but it's a sense of joy in celebration. You know, each of the parables, as Jesus encountered and taught through these lessons, really addressed people in every avenue of life. Many of the time, the questions were presented by those who maybe come from a position of accusation. They encountered Jesus, and they were trying to figure out who Jesus was. Was he legitimately a teacher, or was he just a crazy person? Yet there were others who came to Jesus deeply seeking something greater in their life. They had gone through some great difficulty or hardship, and they were missing something, and they came to Jesus to find it. We think of the woman a couple of weeks ago as she came before Jesus and literally wept and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. But then in the same section of Scripture, there was a Pharisee who came and was really coming from a position of accusation and not of humility. So as we engage with these parables over the next few weeks, as we continue to walk through these stories of Jesus, I think each of us encounter these scenarios from different positions. These three parables dealing specifically with those who are lost and those who are found. For many of you, you may walk in this room and you have known Jesus since Noah got off the boat, right? You've known Jesus for the majority of your life. And for us, we can forget the great joy of our salvation. Yet there may be some of you who walk in this room who feel completely lost. Who've never known what that source of hope was, who've never known what that source of joy was. And like Shannon mentioned just a moment ago, there may be some of you who have known Jesus for a great amount of time. But yet you still feel lost. You can answer all the questions, you can give all the right answers, but really there's still something inside of you that you feel is missing. Each of these three parables, I think, address those groups of people. Now, it's interesting, as we've started walking through these lost parables, if you will, speaking last week of the parable of the lost sheep, next week the parable of the prodigal son, and this week the parable of the widow's lost coin. So let me read, starting in verses 8 through 10 as we begin together. Starting in Luke chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her women, friends, and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." Now, I asked this question last week. I just want to see if more of you are willing to be honest this week. How many of you have a tendency to lose things? Raise them high. The rest of your life. So, all of us lose things. If you've been in our church for any amount of time, you will know the legacy of my lost coffee cup, right? Maybe it's not a legacy at this point in time, but at least in my mind, that's how it came out. Every Sunday morning, I go through about 3 coffee cups. And eventually, as I go throughout my day, I happen to find the coffee cup in which I had replaced. This morning, it was in the Smith's classroom as I went down there for Sunday school. Now, I have this tendency to lose things. Yesterday, I couldn't find the keys to the car. Anybody want to guess where the keys to the car were? They were in the car. That's right. I was ready to go whenever we needed to find it until I needed to find my keys. I have this tendency to put something in a place and think, you know what, I'm going to put it in this place and it's going to be perfect. I'm going to remember exactly where I put this thing. And what do you think happens? Maybe. Or like a couple years later, I pull it up and be like, oh, that's where that thing was, right? Like, I have this tendency to think it's a great idea, but I'm smarter than myself, apparently. I hid it from myself. For some of us, we may have this chronological, or chronic, if you will, loss of misplacing things. For us in our lives, maybe our keys, our Bible, our phone, our purse, our wallet. Maybe for some of us, it's something as simple as our glasses. Mom? I'm just kidding. Just make sure Mom is. There's some of us that just lose things. You know, believe it or not, I think that God knows what that's like. I think God knows and understands that at a much larger scale, that people are lost. I think as Christians, sometimes we forget that people are lost. That ultimately, when we read through the narrative of Scripture, that really this is God's search and rescue mission. That God knew we needed a Savior, and unto ourselves we couldn't bring salvation. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. He came to seek and save who? The lost. See, the challenge for us as believers is that many times we look around us, and just like this story we read this morning, this woman who had 10 coins but lost one. She didn't just look and say, you know what, I've got 9 more coins, I'll find that one later. No, the woman was intentional, she was purposeful, she dove in and she started cleaning her house and looking to find this one coin. For some of you this morning, you may be the 9 that are left. You may be the people that, you know what, you're not really going to go anywhere. Nobody's really going to have to search for you. Nobody's really going to have to wonder what happened. But some of you may be the one that had this tendency to be lost, to be in a position to where you needed to be found. I want you to think back for just a moment. As I read through this scripture this week, I began thinking in my own life, trying to remember what it was like to be lost. I'm not just talking about a physical loss, but a spiritual loss. How many of you remember what it was like to feel hopeless? What it was like to feel that there was nothing worth waking up for in the morning? I have a feeling that some of you are walking through that in this moment. I have a feeling that for all of us, we have had that sense to where we weren't sure what the next day was going to hold. That we literally had no reason in our own heart because we felt so lost. I remember one time a number of years ago as I was hunting up on the front, I found myself in a place where really probably for the very first time, I was truly lost. I've always felt like I had a pretty good sense of direction. But in this moment, I'm a flatland kid. I mean, I live in Shelby. I mean, it's not hard to find where you need to go. You just keep going. You'll probably end up there eventually. But in the mountains, there's something interesting that can happen. And I'll never forget that moment to where I had walked and walked and walked. I ended up walking like 16 miles that day. If you know anything about me, that's like the culmination of how far I've walked in my entire life. I do everything I can not to walk that far. But I remember at about mile 12, I sat down on this tree and I had that moment, and maybe in my own head, I didn't really acknowledge it, but I really thought, I'm not going to get out of here. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you've been lost in a physical sense to where you just sat down for a minute and thought, this is where I'm going to die. No, I didn't really think I was going to die in that moment, but there was something deep inside of me that was truly lost. I think in a spiritual sense, just like we look at this morning, that Jesus here is illustrating something deeper than just a sheep, something deeper than just a coin, something deeper than just a son, even though that seems like such a great thing. But that all of us have had that feeling of lostness. You see, Jesus here, let's take a moment and read through Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. As he begins dealing with an individual, a man named Levi. Most of you will know this story. As we walk through this scenario, I think this illustrates for us both sides of what's happening. Starting in verse 27, Jesus says, "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. He said to him, 'Follow me.' So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Then Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with him. But the Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus replied to him, 'The healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance.'" Maybe this morning you come as one of the tax collectors. Maybe this morning you come as one of the Pharisees. But I want to set the playing field for just a moment as we talk about what it means to be lost and ultimately found by looking at two scriptures, one right after the other. They're ultimately connected. Most of us will know and be able to quote Romans 3:23. What does Romans 3:23 say? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Where does that leave you and I? We're sinners, right? Doesn't say some of you, those of you. It says all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of you can quote Romans chapter 3, verse 24? Don't put it up there. Go on there. That's
sorry.
How many of you can quote Romans 3:24? You can put it up there. "They're justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, we all recognize that ultimately we are sinners. It puts us on a level playing field. Ultimately, none of us come with something greater than the other. That even though each of us are sinners, we have the opportunity to be justified by at what cost to you? Nothing. Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, that's what is here to be found. That's the opportunity that gives us hope. So let's take a moment and look deeper into this story. As Shannon mentioned, the title of my sermon this morning is Lost at Home. Now, we all have places that we may go and we lose things from time to time, but surely we would imagine in our own home, we would know where most things are, right? Yeah? No? No. Sometimes at home, that's the easiest place for us to lose things. Let's look together at verse 8. "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search thoroughly until she finds it?" So here are the circumstances of the lost coin. This woman has 10 coins, and she loses one coin. Now, for us, that may seem very insignificant. Theologians believe that really there are ultimately two different options in which could have occurred. We know historically some of the things that would have surrounded the value, if you will, of these 10 coins. It wasn't like losing a penny. So the first option that we have here as we evaluate the circumstances of these coins is ultimately that it may have been a matter of sheer necessity. You've all had that moment in time to where you stood at the checkout counter and you start counting pennies. You ever been there? And you come up short. At that moment, that simple little coin becomes necessary. Now, we don't know all the information that surrounds this situation, but ultimately, if you look historically, this coin would have represented most likely an entire day's wages. So imagine for just a moment, if you had your paycheck. You had your paycheck sitting on the table, and it got lost. I have a story to share with you. I know that surprises you. When I was a kid, I took the trash out once and threw my dad's paycheck away. You know what I got to do that night?
Dumpster diving.
I got to go dumpster diving that night. I'll never forget cleaning marinara sauce off of my dad's check. Now, that was a big deal, right? I mean, it seems like something goofy I laugh about now, but you know what? Like, you throw a check away, it's going to make a dent. For this woman, this coin was not just something insignificant. It was of tremendous value. Imagine for a moment you lost something of that great worth, something that you knew you needed to have to make it to the next day. What would you do? You'd go look for it, wouldn't you? The second option we have here is these 10 coins. Historically, most would believe that this woman's, this collection of 10 coins would have been, in a sense, her dowry. It would have been something that in this period of time, these 10 coins would have been sewn into a type of veil. And so for this woman, it was something that was represented her marriage. It represented something of great value to her. And on her wedding day, this would have been something she wore as as a headdress of sorts. So for those of you who are married in this room, imagine for just a moment your wedding pictures ended up in the trash. How would you feel about your wedding pictures ending up in the trash? For some of you, I realize you're like, well, I have them on a computer. Some of you don't, right? Imagine for a moment something of great value that represented the greatest love that you had ever experienced in your life, and it ended up in the trash. What would you do? Would you just say, it's not a big deal? You'd go look for it, wouldn't you? You see, Jesus begins by telling us this parable, I believe, for us to understand the great worth that each of us have. That there's nothing so insignificant, there's nothing of such little value that we would not, that he would not literally get down on his hands and knees and dig through the dirt to find. This lost coin may seem like something that we in ourselves would say, you know what, it's really not worth the struggle. It's really not worth the effort. Now, for just a moment, I want us to think about those in our lives around us. Maybe this morning we come and we sit and we forget that there are those who are lost without hope that surround us each and every day. Maybe we have become comfortable in our foundness, if you will. You know what? I don't have to worry. Everything's fine. I'm not lost. I'll just sit here on the shelf. That's all I really need to do. But you see, Jesus didn't come. Jesus didn't come to find those who were already found, did he? We read in each of these three parables that he came to find those who were lost. This morning I want to venture to you this question. Who do you know that's lost? Who do you know in your life, in your community, and in your circles, in your relationships that's lost? And if you don't, get off the shelf. If you can literally think that there's nobody I know that needs to know Jesus, get off the shelf. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And lostness may look different for many people. You may look at someone in their life and say, you know what, they've got things together. That doesn't mean they're any more found than not. You may look at someone and say, well, I know that person's surely lost. You see, the beauty of these parables is that even in the darkest and most difficult situations of our life, that Jesus came and rescued us. Ultimately, the question that has to be asked, do I have something lost at home? Do I have something lost at home? Now, you may be able to think through someone in your life that needs to hear Jesus, that needs to have the hope of the gospel. But I addressed three different groups of people as we began this morning, and I want to talk quickly to the second group of people. To those who have been found but still have something missing. to those who know Jesus and have had a relationship with him for a long time, but still there's something in their hearts that's empty. Something that they struggle with, something that they've missed. Sometimes we become so comfortable with our lostness at home that we forget there are things that need to be searched for. As believers in our lives, so much of the time we forget our need for repentance. We forget our need for confession. Sometimes we become so apathetic that we continue down a path of sin and we find ourselves in the midst of the darkness and we look back and say, how did I end up here? So I wonder this morning, how many of us are lost? You have to raise your hand. I wonder how many of us sit at home in the midst of our comfort, in the midst of the things that we know and are familiar with, but yet look around and feel empty. You see, each one of these parables, specifically the one we'll address last week, the parable of the lost son, we look at this man who had great possession, who had great worth. He even had other sons. But yet we know when the son returned, what did he do? He literally left everything and ran to him. This woman's worth or value seems slightly less. But don't overlook its importance. Maybe there's something in your life this morning, church, that you've lost. Maybe it's something as simple as spending more time in God's Word. Maybe it's something as simple as growing in your prayer life. Maybe it's something as simple as coming and being a part of things here in the life of the church. Maybe it's something much larger. Maybe there's some sin that you have allowed to creep into your life that today you need to confess, that today you need to get right with. Maybe this lostness has continued for long enough and Jesus says, sinner, come home. Let's go a little bit deeper into Luke chapter 15. In verse 9, we read in the previous verse that this woman, she literally spent everything. She got down on her hands and knees and she swept her house until she could find the coin. The second part of our story helps us to look at what the woman had lost. First of all, the step that she took, she lit a lamp. Lighting a lamp would illuminate the dark corners and help her to find the coin. Secondly, the woman swept the house. And thirdly, she did something diligent. She did it on purpose. But verse 9 changes tone, doesn't it? It doesn't deal just with the lostness of the coin. It gives us the other side of the story. Read verse 9. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me because I have found the silver coin I lost. When's the last time we rejoiced? When's the last time we found joy in our salvation? When's the last time that we remembered how greatly we had been saved? Years ago, I had this phrase, and it stuck. I had this phrase said to me. It's kind of stuck in my head. It was called the frozen chosen. You guys ever heard that phrase? Sometimes in church, we're kind of sticking to mud. Amen? Sometimes in church, we struggle to express our joy. Sometimes in church, we just kind of get to this position where you're like, we just have to be stoic. You can't smile in church. Surely there's nobody here today, right? You're all smiling at me right now. For us as Christians, church, we have to remember the joy of our salvation. Jesus here in this story, in this parable, he helps us to realize that we ourselves have been found. We ourselves, as Jesus came, literally the house was swept for our sake so that we would be found. And when we were found, there was great joy. Some of you may be a little bit more extroverted. I'm interested. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand if you think you're an extrovert. Extrovert. Someone who just goes above and beyond. You'll talk to a fence post for 2 hours. Any of you like that? Like 3 or 4 of you. And I know some of you, you're more extroverted than you know. How many of you are introverts? You won't even raise your hand. You're like, no. I raise my hand, somebody's going to give me attention. I'll watch some of you pull your arm. Some of us are more introverted than others. Now, I've known some people who, when they experience joy, they will willingly and readily share it with anybody and everybody. And sometimes, as an introvert, that annoys me. Can I make that confession to you as a church? Can I tell you that sometimes people who are just a little too excited, I struggle with it. Yeah. Naturally, I'm an introvert. Naturally, as an individual, I had this conversation this week. I'm probably better by myself than I am with a group of people. If it helps you to know, it's a struggle to step up on the stage every Sunday morning. As an introvert, sometimes I had this tendency to keep things quiet in the wrong times. See, church, there is great joy in our salvation. There is great joy in what we have in Jesus Christ. And we are remiss if we refuse or don't take the opportunity to share the hope of the gospel. See, we talk about Trunk or Treat this morning and in our announcements. We talk about, you may think, well, how does Trunk or Treat help us as a church to love our community? You see, church, those are gospel opportunities. As you get to know and invest and have conversations with people, you get to walk through the difficulties, but you also get to celebrate the joys. So often as believers, we had this conversation, interestingly enough, this morning in Sunday school. Even as a church, we send out more prayer requests than we send out praises. We talk so much more about the difficulties than we do celebrate the joys. You see, this parable is a little bit different from the previous parable as we talk about the lost sheep, but it leads us into the prodigal son. I love the story of the prodigal son. I won't go too much further into it, but there is great joy when the son is found. Church, as a body, as a group of believers, my encouragement, my challenge to us is be willing to share the joy. We go back to the story of Levi and Luke. We read just a moment ago. Luke had received salvation and he invited all of his tax collectors' buddies together. And they said, let's have a party. I want you to hear about Jesus. But the church people, the Pharisees and scribes, what did they do? They sat outside and said, why are they here? What did they do? They haven't been here. They don't know what happens here. There is joy in salvation. There is hope in Jesus, and we have been called to share that with others. Notice where the woman began, with her friends and neighbors, those that were closest to her. See, the story brings us to a place of finding and rejoicing. The final words in verse 9, rejoice with me because I have found the silver coin I lost. Now let's look at verse 10 with the time we have remaining. I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. See, church, this is a picture of God's character. This is a picture of God's heart for us. Today, we don't need to end this message on how or why we end up lost, but rather in the joy that we find in salvation. God longs to see those who are lost recover. He sent His Son to find them. Those who have wandered away, those who have departed from Him, Jesus says, sinner, come home. You see, sometimes people, I think, don't realize that they're lost until it's too late. People don't realize they're lost until they find themselves in the midst of the darkness. I had a friend years ago who used to use this phrase. He said, you go charge hell with a water pistol, Chad. You know, that phrase has always stood out to me. Because so much of the time we forget those that are lost, even though they're so close to us. You may go home this afternoon, and there's someone lost right beside you. You may walk into the grocery store, somebody you've known for decades. And they don't know Jesus. See, church, we have hope. We have hope because of what Christ has done. The declaration of the gospel is that even though while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. for us.
That's good news, church.
That's good news, and that news is worth sharing. So let me challenge you as you walk out the doors this morning to share that hope with just one person. Even if it's just a smile, a pat on the back, a handshake. Don't be a stick in the mud, but point others to the light of Christ. And it may look different from each of you. Some of you, you may not be the kind of people, I can tell you the first time I went door-to-door knocking, I froze to death. I mean, I was literally going to die on the first door I knocked on. Some of you, that may be easy. For some of you, sharing the gospel may be something that comes out just in every word that you say. For others of you, sharing that hope may look like something very different. It may be just an encouraging word. It might be just a simple text message or a card. But let me challenge you to share the hope you have in Christ. Maybe this morning you're lost. Maybe this morning as you come here today that you feel that you have no hope. Maybe you've never known Jesus. Today is the day Jesus says, come freely, as we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, that the gift that has been given to us has been given to us because of Jesus' great love for us. Maybe you've known Christ for a long time, but you've walked away. You found yourself lost in the darkness of the things that surround you. Repent today. Repent means to turn. Sometimes it has a bad ring to it, doesn't it? Repent means to turn. To come back to what you once knew. To take those steps back towards Jesus. Whatever your decision is, come this morning as the worship team joins us.